So now today's generation, let me say, you know, the Gen Z or the Alpha. So what do you feel like, what is the most effective way to communicate to these teenagers now?
It says that children at this age are basically looking for who they are. And as a parent, you have to help them. That is the biggest challenge, because we want them to become something that we want, or what we wanted to become.
In fact, nowadays girls, they get periods at the age of 8.
Yes, so now yeah. The puberty age, once upon a time, to be 13, 14, yeah. Which is normal. But today, there have been cases where we have seen children getting periods at the age of 8.
Yeah.
That means the child is still a baby. The child says, what is puberty age?
Hmm.
You should not be, what is puberty age? How can you ask me such a dirty question?
Namaste and welcome to Imperia Connects. Today's episode is all about building stronger relationships with children and teens. Joining us is Sanya Lal, a wellness and parenting coach, who will share her insights on how we can foster deeper connections and better communication with the younger generation.
Glad to have you on our show, Sanya. Looking forward to today's conversation.
Thank you so much, Imperia Connects. I feel totally blessed to be here and sharing whatever I can on parenting.
So parenting teenagers can feel like a walking tightrope, right? One hand, you want them to be independent. The other side, you also want to guide them. So what do you feel, parents, what is the biggest challenge they face while raising teenagers?
Parenting. I call it parenting. Why parenting? It's because you're parenting a team. So you have to start becoming a team. You have to imagine yourself being a team. And for that, you need empathy. And one of the biggest challenges that we face as parents is we lack empathy. Biggest challenge. We are from a generation which is very different as parents. If your child is a teenager, you are probably 20 years older, 25 years older. And things that time are very different. So you can't say, hamare zamane mein. Sab parents bolte na, hamare zamane mein. But hamara zamana alag, aaj ka ye zamana alag. Now the 20 years down the line, teenagers will be different. Every year it changes. The challenges that parents face, one is communication. The second that they face is connecting with the child. The other thing that they also face is, how do we handle peer pressure? How do we handle their studies? That is, in Indian society, one of the toughest thing is, how do I get my child to study? Usko focus kaise do? Nahi, padhai, usko numbers kaise? I want him to do IIT, I want him to do this. So our focus is studies, our focus is on that. We do not focus on life skills. We do not focus on relationships. That plays a very important role. So that's the challenges we face, because we lack empathy. We do not want to understand what they are going through, but we want to, we do not know whether we should treat them as adults or treat them as children, because it's an adolescent. So that is why the word adolescence has come. It's not an adult and not a child. And at that point of time, even their mind is developing, their brain is developing. And as per Erikson's law, it says that children at this age are basically looking for who they are. And as a parent, you have to help them. That is the biggest challenge, because we want them to become something that we want, or what we wanted to become. I wanted to become a dancer, or I wanted to become a singer. You have to let them be who they want to be. Then parenting becomes easier. And communication plays a very key role in this entire journey.
So now today's generation, let me say, you know, the Gen Z or the Alpha. So what do you feel like, what is the most effective way to communicate to these teenagers now?
Communication is very simple. If you follow the 5 C's, okay? The first important C is to connect. You have to be able to connect with your child. How do you connect? You have to know what is happening around. Be aware. Parents say, arey, mere bacha Instagram use karta hai. I don't use it. Then how do you know what your child is doing on Instagram? My child is dancing and doing this and doing that. Are you connected with your child? Connecting. The connection has to be built. Now, to build this connection, what you need to do is the second C. You need to communicate. You need to be able to communicate with the child and understand what the child is going through. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about communicate, to communicate, there are two things that want to communicate when you're communicating. One is verbal, one is non-verbal. Verbal is what you're saying, how you're saying, when you're saying, how you're saying, and who you're saying it. It is very important. The second part of communicating is, are you listening? Most of the time, communication is just not talking. Communicating is also listening. So what do I mean by listening? There's a difference between listening and hearing. Listening is by choice. Hearing is by, it is a sensation of it, right? So I can hear. I don't have the choice to listen, but there's a car passing by, there's a dog barking, whistle blowing. That is listening, hearing. Listening is I'm choosing. Right now, you're listening to me, what I'm saying, right? You're paying attention to how Sandhya is talking, looking at my tone, looking at my hand postures. Suppose I said, yeah, it's a very nice program and I'm really interested. My body language is showing that I'm not interested in the show, right? Or I'm talking, looking, they'll say like, oh, that's very nice, I'm so interested. The other thing that we do is, ha, bacha bolo. Yes, I'm listening to you. What are we doing? Are you listening?
No.
You're not. I just demonstrated it, right? This is what most parents do. The biggest problem is we are not listening. So communication gap happens when you do not listen. The third C in this entire thing of communication is complimenting, which many parents forget to do. We all forget to compliment. Looking nice. Are ye kya? What are you wearing this rubbish? It's okay. Let them try out something. It's okay. Wow, nice. But maybe you can do this. But if you always put a but into everything, then the child says, okay, I'm waiting for the but. You know? So you need to compliment more often. Compliment more often. And there are two C's that you should never do. One is criticize and the second is compare. Why do I say criticize? Because you say, acha hai, but wo wala acha tha. So you have complimented that you criticize. So the compliment has gone down. What happens is when you say something positive and something negative at the same time, that negative thing is taken more. You will remember something or someone has told you, suppose someone has told you something bad. Wo tumko 10 saal tak yaad rahega. Hai ki nahi? But kisi ne aapko 10 baar bola hai ki aap beautiful ho, wo yaad nahi rahega. You will not remember someone telling you that you are pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah? So complimenting is very important. Very important is to compliment. And the other second thing is to compare. So children and human beings are like fingerprints. What's unique about fingerprints? What's special about fingerprints? Each child is unique. Each child has their own good, bad. They have their positive, they have their negative. And when you start comparing every time, then the child says, hey, kuch nahi hoga. There's no use. My parents are never happy because they're forever, are uska marks dekho. So I tell parents, stop comparing. Don't ask, are see your friend how she's studying. Why can't you study? If your child says to you, look at that one's mama, she's better than you. Will you like it? You will get hurt.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. If you say, uske papa ko dekho, aap kaise ho? You will get hurt. But the same very thing you are doing to your child. So it's very important to start. So when you follow these 5 C's of communication, life becomes easier. That is the crux. That solves many challenges that you will face.
So one of the common challenges that you face during teenage is puberty. Can you explain us more about this?
Huh. So puberty is where your body is changing. It's a process. It starts off, say, from when you're 10. It goes on to the 11-12.
Yeah.
So your body is going to go through changes. There will be puber care for girls, even for boys. There will be budding where the breasts are forming. So your body is going to go through changes. For girls, it is more visible. For boys, it is not
visible. Yeah.
Boys also, because boys will start growing beards. Their voice will crack. Their voice will change. So there is hormonal changes. And that is when the child doesn't know what is happening with the body. Now, when you follow the first thing that I told you about communication, you can tell your child, okay, this is what you're going to do. Communication has to be a two-way process, right? You have to be able to talk about anything and everything. If your child says, what is pubic hair? You should not be, how can you ask me such a dirty question? It's not a dirty question. It is about my body. I don't know what is it. Mere yahan pe baal aa rahe. Kya ho raha hai mujhe? As a parent, you should say, listen, Raghu, this is going to happen. You're going to get hair in your private parts under your arms. You're going to get breasts. Your body is going to change. When you communicate to your child, and the child knows, okay, I'm going to. Otherwise, what the child is going to do is internet, Google search, it goes to another level of what they're going to see, right? When your communication is strong, this journey of puberty, the hormonal changes that are going to happen, which as body becomes aging. If, say, as a parent, you are uncomfortable in handling this, then take an expert. If you have a family doctor or a family girls, like your family, make an explain it to the child, because many, and there are many books which are available now for children where they can read about this. Children's books. It's written in children's format where they talk about what is puberty, how to deal with it, what is a period.
In fact, nowadays girls, they get periods at the age of 8.
Yes, so now the puberty age, once upon a time, so be 13, 14, which is normal. But today, there have been cases where we are seeing children getting periods at the age of 8. That means that child is still a baby. It's still a small kid. You say adolescence, but now the child is, as it is, the child is going and still a small kid, and he has to now deal with this, and the hormonal changes and the behavioral changes, the stomach cramps, the body pains. So when the child is going into puberty, you will get something called growing pains. You get pain in the stomach, pain in the legs, joints, right? And you've got to be ready to answer questions from boys and girls. And that's when even sex education plays a very, very important role. Because boys and girls will get very inquisitive. They want to know what does she have at angle. Ladki ke paas kya hai to mere paas. And then the peekaboo, as you show me, let's see what you have, let's see what I have. These things. So now when you start communicating with the child, if your child can come and tell you, listen, mama, this is what someone told me to do, or show me your breasts, or show me your shirt, take a shirt and I want to see. If the child comes and tells you, you know that some how to handle the situation. This child can come. So communication plays a very important role in this. And puberty is your body changing, the hormonal changes. So your brain is in havoc. Hormones play a very, very different role in your body. So it's important to know how to control that.
So we often hear parents telling, you know, my children, they don't open up to me or they don't come and speak to me. So how can parents encourage their children to come and, you know, openly talk to them about these all subjects?
Like I said, the first five C's, communicating correctly. When you're communicating, how are you communicating?
But such sensitive topics, how can you open up easily with them?
Are you open to your child coming and saying, mama, this boy wants to have sex with me?
Oh, 15.
if a child comes and says, mama, this boy said I want to have sex with you. A teenager. Can she come and tell you this?
No, she won't.
Why? Because she's scared that you will shout and your reaction is anger. So young, how can you think of sex? Instead, if the same reaction is okay, listen. No, if you're going to have sex, you need to know that you need to use protection. And you need to know that if you have sex, you can get pregnant. Because your body is now having periods, right? Do you know how you can get pregnant? Now you tell them about sex education. The moment the child starts getting periods, it is very important to tell them, give them sex education. And not name the private parts as BV, PV, and name it. Name it. It's a vagina, it's a penis. Be open about talking about it. If you are not, speak to a doctor. It's a child. But the child should be able to come and tell you, listen, this is what is happening. If you start getting angry every time your child comes and tells you something, or you cut off your child. If you cut off, like the child is coming to tell you something, a simple incident that there was, I had a mother case where the mother says, my son doesn't tell me, my daughter doesn't tell me anything. So I said, do you share what's happening in your life with your child? And when they come and tell you, how do you react? So simple thing is, she said, yeah, my son, the first thing happened that my son came and told me he was having a party. And in that party, that boy brought his girlfriend. And they started kissing and switching and they were hugging each other. And my first reaction was I started shouting at him and saying, how can you go to such a party? Such a thing would happen. I would never accept you to the party. So the boy said, okay, mama, I don't want to talk to you.
But suddenly kids, they feel, that the parents are controlling them, which even they don't
Now, you have cut the child. What if there was something wrong? Right? You said, I'm not going to send you to this party. Next time this child goes to the party and something else happens, say there's drugs or something else happens, do you think this child is going to come home and tell you?
No.
Because he's scared. How would he react? Most of the time, children do not share what they're going through. They're unable to connect. It's because of fear. they go through sexual abuse, or they go through mental abuse, or they go through bullying, because they cannot connect with their parents. To do an episode, you are asking for trouble. Why were you there? Why were you this? You start blaming your child. Instead, listen. Like I said, listen. Without jumping to conclusions. Listen without being judgmental. Without judging the other person. Okay, let us see. Alright, go to the party, what happened? Let them talk, let them speak. And give your judgment, you can give your suggestions later. Not in an angry state. Because when you are angry, child is angry, both are angry, there's a fight, and nobody's going to listen. In an angry mode, nobody's going to listen anyway.
Okay.
So in a calmer mode, you can always speak to the child, and they will always listen. And I know this for a fact because I have a teenage daughter. I have one who is 12 and one 15. And being a parental coach, that's how I went into this journey, because I said I want to be a better parent, because I was a parent who was shouting and saying, that is the type of parent I was. There are days that it's not that as a parent don't get angry, you do get angry. But I still understand what my child is doing. They are able to come and tell me what is happening. So every day they come and tell me, Mama, this is what's happening. And that's very important. As a parental coach, I tell parents that learn to listen, learn to communicate. All the crises.
So this is a classic parent-teen fight, you know, like kids, they want to go out for night outs. But then the moment your parents tell you no, they feel you're controlling them.
This is something, I think, which has been happening for ages. This is not new.
Yeah.
About a night out or a day out. I always tell, why are we worried about the night? We worried about the night because we think the child will have sex. The first thing that comes to our head.
Yeah.
Can child not have sex in the daytime?
They can.
Right? Yeah. So it's not that you can do what you can do in the day,
yeah.
You can do in the night. Yeah. You can do it anytime, anywhere, wherever you want. Right? But it is important for them to know what is right and what is wrong. As a parent, it is very important for you to know who are your children's friends. Who can you name? Three of your children's, like if it's a girl, can you name three guys or three boys whom she talks to? Whom she's close to? Have you met them? Have you spoken to them? Do you know who they are? Have you met their parents? Do you know where they stay? Now, friend here, whiskey friend here, but who is that friend? Where does that friend stay? Where are you going? As parents, many times we do not want to ask these questions because we feel that it is not our child. The child doesn't want to answer the question because every mama got other questions. Simple thing is that it does make a difference, because if something, God forbid, anything happens, where am I supposed to come looking for you? Where am I supposed to come today? We have the phone and the GPS system on our phone and tracking, but we cannot wait till something goes wrong for us to come and look for you. We should know where you are, at least where you are. Who are you with? Who are the friends you don't know? When you have communication, the five C's, like I always say, when you have these five communications, you're talking about who the friends are, who are they talking with, where are they going, what are they doing, the child will automatically start telling you. But you can't one fine day suddenly decide, you have to tell me everything, it will not happen anymore. Even if you start wanting to communicate, it takes time. One fine day you get up and say, now I'm going to communicate with my child. It's going to take a while because you've not done it in all this while. Suddenly you start asking questions, you can't just speak out. She's gotten up on the other side of the bed, like, what's happened? So, Gen Z, the new Gen, like there's Gen Z, Gen Alpha, and whatever they call themselves.
Yeah.
But teenagers, they want love. They actually need someone to tell them what to do. But it is how you tell them what to do which plays a very important role. So very important is the discipline that we're coaching on. How, like when we are communicating with these teenagers, we ask them, who's your friend? Who are you going with? Where are you going? What are you going to do? When you start asking this on a regular basis, it's not because I'm being a pokey parent. I'm a concerned parent. Don't have fun. Yes. Okay. I'm not comfortable sending you to a boy's house for a night out. But it's an all-girls party. But in an all-girls party, the boys can also come.
Yeah, they can also
come. There is no guarantee. Yeah. Right? But if you are open to communication, your child will tell you, Mama, this is what happened. Or this is what happened. So that communication. And sending night out or sending to someone's house for a sleepover, it is completely personal. I do not tell any parent, I cannot tell you not to send. And I cannot tell you send. Because you know where you want to send your child and you know
your child better your child also.
And you should call your children's friends over. So have a night out in your house. Agar aapko aapke friend pe, you want to go to your friend's house, then have a let's have a night out in our house also. All the friends who are having a, they're going to have a night out there, let's have a night out. See how the child reacts. Is the child comfortable? And tell your child that it's a simple thing. If you are scared to come and tell me something, then answer that that is wrong. That is what my parents always told me. That is something that you have to hide from me, which means maybe there is some gadbadi. You know that thing.
Yeah.
So the idea is that communicate. When you have communications building up. So I run a program for 21 days for parents where I tell them everything, what to say, what to do, how to behave with their child. For 21 days I train them every day. This is what you will tell your child, this is how you will react. And if there's a problem, you'll come back and tell me, this is what I'm going through. But after 21 days, your reaction will be different. Because now you have ingrained your mindset to start changing.
So is parenting and teaching discipline to a girl child and a boy child is different?
It is slightly different. Because both the girls and boys face different problems, right? For girls also there's a problem, for boys also there's a problem. A simple thing, if there's a rape case and going to an extreme, both sides of the family, the girl side and the boy side, are going to be in turmoil. The girl who is raped and the boy who is raped. The parents say, your daughter must be late. The daughter will say, the boy acted funny with me. Sometimes it is consensual. Sometimes both have done it because they want to do it, but they want to get out of this fear, so they say the boy did, or he posted them. Because of fear. I am not saying that what is happening is right or what is wrong, right? But you need to teach your boys, just the way we teach girls, good touch, bad touch. You need to teach your boys what is good touch, what is bad touch. You cannot touch a girl's breast. You cannot touch a girl's private parts. It is right, it is wrong. If for whatever reason, as they grow older, they are having to go to 10%. It has to be consensual. It has to be grown. You cannot force yourself. And if someone doesn't, if someone says no, it means no. Like the movie thing. There have been many movies about it. But we don't talk about it because why? Rape. Often we talk about sex. Sex is taboo. You need to explain consequences. If you do this, this is what happened. So when you're disciplining children, you need to make sure that they understand the consequences of their actions. Many times we don't share consequences. We don't say what can happen. Don't go out. Don't go out late in the night. Right? Don't wear the short dress and go out in the night. You'll allow them, so the child can wear the short dress and go in the daytime.
You might not like it.
But will you tell your son that don't look at a girl wearing short skirts in a bad way? Don't look at her as a sex. So you have to start teaching your boys that girls are not sex objects, right? But it is a natural thing. It's a natural, your body naturally looks at a woman. It is natural for you to look at a woman. It is a sexual attraction is normal. Right? But you need to know how to control that. And that is what parents need to teach the children. That you cannot go and do anything wherever you want, whenever you want. Right? You need to teach them boundaries. And that comes through discipline.
So now teenagers, they have this pure pressure, you know, the FOMO thing. So how should one tackle that?
FOMO is like, if many people don't know, FOMO is the fear of missing out.
Yeah.
My friends are going for a party, I am not, so I become a loser.
Yeah.
No, you're not a loser. Why should you be a loser just because you're not going for that party? Just because someone doesn't come for a party doesn't make that person a loser. Right? Sometimes you say, hey, your mother is not letting you come out. Your parents are so uncool. They're not cool. It's just that I'm concerned. I don't want to come. It's okay if I don't come. It's okay if I can't make it for a party. It's alright. I'm not going to lose it or something. Right? Social media is what makes FOMO so big today.
Yeah.
I missed out on a party. My friends
posted the pictures.
My friend immediately posted on Insta, tap, 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 tap. And you're like, oh my god, I missed a party. They were so cool, they were dressed up, the party, the music was so good, and I missed her. What has happened here is your happiness quotient is based on what others are doing and not what you're feeling inside.
Hmm.
When you start being happy from inside within yourself, then you don't need this external paraphernalia or social society pressures to stay happy.
Hmm.
And that is not just for teenagers. I'm talking even about youngsters in their 20s and 30s and their 50s. All age group today are
facing this. FOMO. Yeah.
Arey, my friend went for that party. They went for this. Mujhe invite kyun nahi kiya? Pehle zamane mein hota tha. In olden days, it was they went for the party, they didn't invite. It's like, I feel bad that why wasn't I invited for this party? Because why I was not invited? Maybe you didn't fit. Maybe they thought that maybe. But that fear of missing out. So I always say go from FOMO to JOMO. So FOMO is fear of missing out. And have the joy of missing out sometimes. Yeah. Alright, I was just chilling in my bed and enjoying my slumber with my time. Have some me time. You don't have to always be with friends. You don't have to always be with people.
Mm-hmm. You
know? That peer pressure, sometimes peer pressure plays a very difficult role, and because of peer pressure, children do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Now when does peer pressure come in? Or when does peer pressure start affecting children is when there is no communication with the parent. Right? Like I say, you can be a friendly parent, but you cannot become your child's friend. You're a friendly parent. Friendly parent means I can talk with my child, which I can share things with me. I'm a very friendly person. I'm there. But a friend is a friend. At the end of the day, you cannot become the child's friend. You will be a friendly parent. And the child needs to know that you are the parent and this is a friend. I can do masti with my mother, but I need to know that she is my mother and I need to respect that fact that she is older than me, she is a little wiser than me, probably, or my dad, he probably knows a little bit more about what is right and what is wrong, and answer questions. The moment you have a better relationship, like I said, following the Pisces, coming back to that again, you fall in five minutes communication, automatically the child doesn't need, why does a child go for validation on social media? Or why do we go for validation on social media? Because we are not getting it in
at our home.
Yeah.
Why do you want someone to like and say, hey, you're wonderful? Because nobody has told you, you have not complimented. Remember the compliment communication we just talked about. You have not complimented the person, you have not told that, wow, you've done a good job. I got a trophy in that car moment. I have supplemented. Okay. Everyone gets it. You didn't get a gold medal, na? You got a gold, you got a silver medal, so what? You are not complimenting. Whereas your friend, hey, you got a medal, dude. I'm so happy. Give me a high five. Chalo, let's have fun. Chalo, party karte. Who will you go and share your happiness with now?
Your friends. They are giving you more attention.
Yeah.
So the peer pressure and the friend, you become, you want to be more with the person who is more positive with you. But when, as a parent, you are so positive with your child, then the child will say, Mama, I want to be with you, let's party together. That is when you know that, then peer pressure, then whatever that peer pressure, what we say, that what children are doing, everyone's doing it, I also want to do it, then it will not happen. Because you have built a strong foundation. Your foundation has to become strong.
So what if a teen has already made a mistake, you know, of getting indulged into drugs or substance abuse? So how do you approach this conversation with them?
One is that substance abuse, there's a gamut of substance abuse, smoking, drinking, vaping, and drugs. In drugs also, there are different types. Now, you have to, like I said, communication. Communicate with the child and find out who is the person who is helping them do this. Who is their friend circle, right? Also see what you are doing and how are you reacting to this. How are you behaving? Are you drinking and smoking in front of your child? Many parents do that. It's okay. It's all right to have a drink with your child because that it makes you, the child understands, you also understand the child's limitation, and you can have conversations and say, listen, like, no, don't over drink. You don't want to get drunk. You don't want someone to misuse you. I remember, like, when I was a teenager, I'll tell you a classic example of me. When I was a teenager, so I'm talking so many years back. And that time for a parent to sit with a child and drink was, you know. But my parents are very cool. So my mother said, come, let's go to a disco. And she took me to a discotheque. So I was 21. Me and my sister, my dad, couple of cousins. And we went to a bar, a discotheque. And I don't know, it was good luck for my mom or good luck for me or bad luck. What would you put it? You were sitting on our table and we were chilling out. And suddenly, there was a girl in the across the table across us. And she was with two boys. And they started making her drink. Chalo, chalo, you can do it. You can do bottoms up. You can do bottoms up. And da-da-da, she drank. Then another drink. Yeah, you can do bottoms up. After, say, about half an hour, she was completely wasted because she was completely drunk. Completely sauceled. She had no control. And then these boys were mishandling her. And my mother said, if you do not know how to handle your alcohol, this is what can happen to you. So it was a live example that happened in front of me. I still remember it till date. And I sometimes thank my stars that, you know, if she had told me this, ki someone will take advantage of you, I would have not believed her and said, yaar, my, aap aise kyun bol rahe, what you're saying doesn't happen. But this is a life example when we were together, right? And having a drink with your parents, there's nothing wrong with it. It all depends on your family values, on how your culture is. Every culture is different. Every family culture is different. But I believe that if you are with your parents, you can have a drink, which means you have good communication, right? Some parents smoke and they will not, but ask the child, will the child smoke? Will immediately say no. So if you want your child not to smoke, that I tell parents, you also don't do it in front of a child. If you want your child to follow a certain path, then you should also be doing the same thing, right? You can't be saying don't get drunk and you're getting drunk. So you, whatever you're setting, you have to be an example as a parent, right? When it comes to drug abuse, substance abuse, that is a totally different level. That's a totally different, you know, handling altogether. That in that case, suppose a child gets into drugs, and most of the time, the drug abuse happens or the drug is given to you by your friend. Your friend circle, your peer circle is the one that gets you introduced into this vaping or you know, you get into the substance abuse. Many a times it happens. And we blame friends. I do not blame the friends. I blame the parents. You have not taught your child to not take drugs and say no. It is okay. This is where the FOMO comes out. I will say no. I will not do it. As a parent, if you have built a relationship, the child will be strong enough to say, no, I don't want to do this. Mujhe nahi karna. This is not right. Because you have taught right. Huh? Now, say, mother, the other scenario is the child has got into drug and substance abuse. You have to start seeing. There will be red flags. There are people who specialize in this. I'm not an expert in that, so I will not get into that. But a basic thing is there are red flags, behavioral changes. When you say behavioral changes, it is how you talk, how you behave, how you react. In fact, we ran a program on reparenting. We have a program on that where we have talked about the drug people who do this, experts who handle the situation. And one of the key things I said, it is parental negligence. When parents are in their own world and not bothered about what children are doing, who are their friends, where are they going, where are they, kaun baat kare, kisse jaa, haan gaya, theek hai chala, he's gone with his friend, which friend, who is he, what is he doing? You're not connected. When there is no connection, no communication with your child wants to connect and communicate with other people. And when they connect and communicate, they go into this FOMO mode, and the FOMO mode leads them to taking drugs. It is a circle. So remember, like I always say, the five C's. When you are following those five C's in your life, trust me, these things will not happen. And God forbid it happens. If your child can come and tell you, Mama, I've gotten to drugs, I need help. How are you going to react to that? Are you going to scream and shout? Yeah, you cannot.
So is there a term called toxic parenting?
Toxic parenting is basically negative parenting. It is when you are doing everything which is going to damage and hinder your child's growth. You're not allowing your child to grow. You're not allowing your child to develop. Toxic parenting can also be when there is sexual abuse.
There is physical abuse, verbal abuse, continuous on a long-term basis. Toxic means what? It is bad. It is negative, right? So toxic parenting is there. There is something called toxic parenting. And if a child is going through this, then the child has grandparents, they should talk to the grandparents, talk to some relatives, talk to family friends, and share that this is what I'm going through. Because children who are going through this are traumatized. They need to share and tell that this is what I'm going through. Especially if there is sexual abuse. And why that happens also is because nowadays you see there are a lot of divorces. So, second, stepfather, stepmother, we have. That is where this, some amount of toxicity happens. It's also the kind of mindset that we have. So, when you're going through any of these phases in life, it is important to converse. When you're in school, you have a counselor, speak to the counselor. So, both the parents may not be toxic, only one parent will be toxic. When communications are open, like what I said always in the beginning, like I said, when your communication is open, you can go and tell the other person, listen, this is what I'm doing. Children who are being bullied by friends or by a parent, go to the other parent and say, listen, this is what I'm doing, so I cannot handle this.
So we see a lot of parents are divorced these days. So how can you make your kids feel secure or probably deal with this as being a single parent?
Like, I have not gone through this, luckily. I am still married. But I have a lot of, a lot of the people whom I have been helping in this journey. And one of the key things is, again, communication. Your child should be able to come and tell you, listen, what the child is going through. And you need to communicate to your child, why are you getting into this relationship? What does this relationship mean to you? Right? Why do you need a partner? Why do you need a new life partner? I always tell parents, do not badmouth and put the other parent down. Even if you all are divorced, try and let the child also meet the father, because at the end of the day, that is a father. Unless there has been domestic violence, there has been physical abuse, and it's toxic, like what we said, the toxic parenting. If there has been toxic parenting, and you want to cut off ties, then it's a different thing. But otherwise, if two parents are divorcing, husband and wife are divorcing, parents do not divorce. Parents have to be there for their child, as a mother, as a father, because you have brought this child into this world, so you have that responsibility. Ki aapka DNA chal raha hai in bachche mein. Aapne jaan dala na, you have put life into this kid, so you have that responsibility.
Yeah, you have to share it. Responsibility.
And it's not just monetary responsibility. It is not just a monetary responsibility. It is a relationship that has to be built. Communication. That, okay, let the child be, let the child also explore what the father's like, what the mother's like, what they call today's co-parenting. We call it co-parenting. Right? You two husband-wives don't get along. Okay, good. Go your own two. I would say, you can't get along. You're fighting all the time. Might as well go. But even divorces can be reduced if we start communicating. Right? And then we blame. One of the biggest problem that parents do is, I'm in this relationship because of this child. I'm with you because of this child. Otherwise, I would have left you and gone. Bachche nahi tha, main chhod ke chali jaati. Usse mein hum log bolte hain. Now this child somewhere is feeling, yaar, am I to be blamed? My existence. As a kid, it's okay. As you keep growing, you find it difficult to get into a relationship, to trust the relationship. Very important that if you are going through conflict, is how to handle it. Have a counselor. Speak to a counselor. Have a counselor for family counselors. Like I help, I work as a relationship coach. I'm not a counselor, but I am a coach. And I tell parents how to handle the situation. How to tell your child, okay, this is, we are not going to be together. But it doesn't mean that you cannot meet your father. It doesn't mean you cannot meet your mother. Whoever is going to take custody of the child.
Because this all affects the mental health of the parent.
Yes. So that child, when you are telling a child, whom do you love more? In the house, we have no, kisse dada, whom do you love more, your mama or dada?
That's a wrong question.
Very wrong question to ask children. Whom do you love more? You love mama, you love dada. Why? Why should I choose? Can I tell you which finger I want to cut? Cut this finger, which choose? No. Both parents, yes, maybe one parent is a little more lenient, so you say, okay, mama. Okay, you don't want dada then? You don't love me? No, it's not that I don't love you. I love you differently, I love my mother differently. We have different relationships with both our parents, and both the parents are equally important.
For them, it's two eyes. They need both.
It is two eyes. Yeah. You can't say, okay, I don't need my right eye. I can manage without it. Yeah, you managed to survive, you managed to adapt. But if you had both your eyes, you'd be a happier person. Right? So co-parenting is now becoming a trend, and it's very important that you do not badmouth the other person. Are yaar, your mother will not allow you. She's both strict. Hai. You get what I'm saying? You say, nahi, mama is very strict, so that I will allow you to do whatever. So now, if in parenting, when you talk about discipline, or you talk about, you know, disciplining children, very important is when this kind of a conflict happens, very important is both the parents are in tandem. Now, if a mother says that, no, his deadline is he has to come home by 10 o'clock, the father should also be that, okay, you have to come at this at 10 o'clock. Not that, okay, you have come to my house, theek hai, you can come whenever you want. Now, that is where different types of parenting comes in. So, there are four types of parents I'm going to talk about. One is a parent who's a dictatorial parent. It's my way or the highway. Whatever I say, you have to do. Whatever you have, you will not, you have no choice. You have to wear this, you have to do this, you have to eat this, you have to do this, you have to have. Everything is my way. The child has no choice. It's like a dictator. Matlab, aapko, you do not have any choice. The second type of parent is what they call is an influencing parent. They are parents, oh my bacha, sir aapko par. Everything that the child wants, I will give the child. The child wants to go to have ice cream in the middle of the night, I will take my child from it. My child wants a toy, I'll give. So you keep giving everything and everything, okay, to that child. Now what's happening to this child? The child thinks, yeah, I can get whatever I want. The third type of parent is one who doesn't care ki bacha kya kar raha hai. Are friend ke saath gaya, I am not bothered about who that friend is. I'm not bothered. It's a neglectful. I'm not bothered about the studies. I'm more bothered about myself. I want to go party. I have to go and do this. I have to do this. I have to look pretty. It is all about me and myself, but my child is secondary. That is the third type of parent. Now, the fourth type of parent is a parent who tells a child that we can do this, but I would rather you not do this because X, Y, Z. So there is a more communication. It's a more balanced parenting. When you're in the balanced parenting, like what you say, you're not neglecting, you're not being dictatorial. At the same time, you're telling the child, this is what we need to do. So it's a balance. You're also complimenting, you're being a balanced parent. That is when parenting becomes beautiful. So when you're going through all of these divorces, if you're two different types of parents, one is dictatorial, another one is like this, then there is going to be conflict. Because then there will be clashes, there will be fights. So you need to understand what type of a parent you are, what is another type of parent, and say ground rules, okay, this is what we are going to do, and this is, we are together. Otherwise, the child will use this against you. Hey, I'll go to papa and stay. I'll stay there because he allows me to do whatever. And then children know how to blackmail you and arm twist you to doing things they want.
So earlier days, you know, we always had like a mom used to be like a homemaker. Like now today we have like, you know, women, even they are working. So you always don't have your parents available for you every now and then. So how do you think one can cope parenting in this?
See, like I always say, parenting is both mother and father's job. It is not that mother's job. In most cases, it is the mother will take the child for PTA. Mother will take the child for sports. Mother has to go for annual day. Mother has to do everything. Like you say, 10 hands of multitasking. We tell the woman to multitask. It is okay if the man doesn't multitask. It's okay. We feel, why should he do it? I'll do it. Shouldn't be the case. And as women today, I would say today's women, they want to do everything. They think. They want to show I am superwoman. I can do everything. But trust me, it is not good for your health also. You cannot take so much of stress. You reach burnout. You reach stress levels, shoot up. PCOD, other health, BP, diabetes, all these problems also happen to women. It's because we are trying to do too much.
We are running and doing everything.
You need to say, it's okay, I can take help. It's okay to say, okay, today Dada will take care of. Today, dad will take you and go to school. Today, dad will come for PTA. It's okay if I don't go for PTA. Now, when you have a good relationship, as a husband-wife relationship, with a child-parent relationship, and these relationships are good, then even if a father goes for a PTA or you go for a PTA, it's understandable. Because sometimes what happens, child will say, no, no, don't send dada. Dada's too strict. He'll start shouting over there. He'll tell the teacher, he'll put me down. Why the child doesn't want the father to come? Because the father will go there and put this child down, which the child doesn't want. Mother probably doesn't do that. So the child is happy that the mother is there. In today's world, when women are also working, men are also working and becoming nuclear families, when you're talking about cities or metros, you need to understand that parenting has to be balanced. And both parents have to be in the same equilibrium, I'll put it, not like one year, one there, totally different. But there has to be a balance. So that is very important.
So now that you told us about different parenting, are there different type of children also?
Interesting question. Are we? Do we have different type of children? Yes. Like I said, that no children are the same. But when you talk about behavioral science, so you look at core behavior, it can be described into four different types of behavior, core behavior that we have. So one is D, which is dictatorial, where the person is my way or the highway. This can also be an adult, this can be a child. So when two D's come together, there's going to be fight because both of them want their way. And then there is no communication going to happen because both of them are. So yahan pe you might need a mediator, okay, like let us listen to both the sides and see how we can work it out. The second type of person is influential, influencer. They are the influencer, what we call it. They are communicators. They speak. They need to be spoken to. They want to be told that they are good. They need shabashi. They need the compliments. They do not work without compliments. So when these children, you have to tell them like, oh wow, good job. You have done, I like what you have done. Fantastic painting. Beautiful. They like to be told that something is good or bad. They like feedback. They are feedback. People who become influencers, they are the ones who want that, wow, thumbs up, fantastic, I like what you're doing.
Want to be acknowledged.
They want to be acknowledged for what they're doing. Okay, wow, you got a B plus, good, I'm so happy that you got this, you know. But, are now influencer ka bolta, ye kya kar diya aapne? That child, you demoralize. So, you need to know what the child is. Now, you have the S, which is stagnant. Stagnant is the child is happy and the person is happy with what they're doing. They are not bothered about what is happening around the world. They don't get bothered by peer pressure. They don't get bothered by parents. Nothing in their surrounding affects them. They are happy the way they are. These type of adults also, if you see this, if you look at adults who are like this, they probably will be in a job for 40 years, in the same place, doing the same thing for 40 years, and it makes no difference to them. You see some people, they will not react. It makes no difference whether you're fighting, shouting, screaming.
They are in their own space.
So the people in the stagnant state, basically they do their own thing. There is no thinking, you know, it makes a difference. Now to get these children to start moving, sometimes these people need a little push. Why don't you do this?
Go out of your box and
just let's get you out of your comfort zone. You have to push them out of their comfort. They will not do it by themselves. They are not the type who take. The influencer child will come out and do it. I want to go. They are enthusiastic. These children are not. So you need to push them and say, let's try something different. Let's try. At least try the way. Let's see whether you can do it. So as a parent, you need to know what is your child. And the third one is what they call compact. They are the children or people who work with data. Information. They are the why people. They ask a lot of questions. Why should I do this? What will happen? Why should I not do this? What will happen if I do that? So when you want them to do something, you need to give reasoning. Some children want reasoning. Some children will just do it because you said, mummy ne bole kar do. Some children, you see, some children, unko bahut explain karna padta hai. We need to do this. Why are we going? Who are we going to meet? Answer the questions. It's okay to answer the questions. So answer the questions. They will be asking questions and to convince them to do something, probably you have to tell them, this is how many people are doing this, that is my way. This is how it works. When they grew up, they get into jobs or so, which are like this, where they want data, data-driven jobs. So even the type of personality, like as a career counselor I work, we do multiple intelligence tests for children. And we find out what is their core strength and based on that, tell them to choose a career. Based on their career, based on their core behavior, core likes. As parents, many a times, we don't know what are the core likes. But when you do these tests to come to, okay, this is what my child is. My child is good with art and he will probably do well. Now you are an engineer. You can't expect your child to become an engineer because you have the logical knowledge. That child is artistic, he has artistic knowledge. So these children are not this. So even when it comes to intelligence, what you're studying is also different. So you have your core strengths, you have your core behavior and you have your core intelligence, which makes you who you are as an individual. And as a parent, you need to know what your child is. And when you know what your child is, parenting becomes easier. And if you don't know, then take the help of a coach. Like I'm a parenting coach. So I tell parents, okay, let's find out what are the things the child likes. How does the child behave? How does the child react? First, find out what you are. Are you a dictatorial parent? Is it my way? Are you an influential? Once you look at yourself, then let's look at the child. Then we understand what the child is, and then we figure out, okay, this is what, how we will go about handling this situation. In discipline, you know, whatever X, Y, Z that we need. So now what happened is when you are doing all of this, right? When you're different type of parents, different type of children, get influenced by the digital world.
So now that we are in this era where everyone's speaking about digital world, so every parent wants, you know, their child not to have more screen time. So what's your take on this?
Screen time is something that I think every parent has difficulty with. Even I myself have difficulty with. And it's not just for children. I think as adults also, we have difficulty with screen time. Digital addiction is not just with children. It is also with adults. We cannot leave our phones. You try to get out of your house or out of a room without your phone. That is how that phone has been attached to our body. It's like almost like a part of us today, right? How you use this digital world, how you connect with this digital world plays a very vital role. And that is very important as a parent to tell the child how to use. So when you're going to give a phone to a child, or you're going to give, you're going to allow the child to get into social media, you need to tell them what are the things they should do, how to handle it, what. In fact, just recently,
because now even kids, they are studying with tablets and all. Yeah. So we have to introduce them to the
gadgets. You have to. So with like they say that when you give something, right, you're giving the gadget, you need to tell them how to use this gadget effectively. Right? How to use it effectively. If you're only going to use it for scrolling, then it doesn't serve the purpose. You're using it for studying. You're using it for drawing, creating something, writing something, doing something. There are a lot of things that one can do. Digital parenting is a gamut. There's a whole lot of things that one can do in this digital world. There's a whole lot of, there's a different world. The digital world is a different world totally. As a parent, like I said, when your communication is well with your child, then even when you're doing this parenting, it becomes easy. Because you can tell your child what are the pros and cons of using the internet, or the pros and cons of doing things. All of that. It is very important to tell them, give them the phone with the responsibility. Not that they're there and then be the neglectful parent and like, makes no difference what my child is doing. So once in a while, you have to go and see what your child is seeing, what your child is watching, go through the history. There are ways of doing that.
So can you explain me this term, digital footprint?
Yeah, that's a signature program that I run. It's called the Digital Footprint.
That's what I went through and I want to know more about this.
So the digital footprint is, like I put it, simple thing. A murder, say a murder happens in this room, right? Someone got murdered, say I get murdered. How will you go looking for the crime? But a very key clue is fingerprints.
Yeah.
Kisine fingerprint choda hai ki nahi?
Yeah.
You've seen fingerprints, right? People do fingerprinting when there is a some murder happened or there's a crime happened, you go for a fingerprint because you have left a print. You're walking in the sand. What are you leaving on the ground?
Your footprints.
Footprints. That is what you're leaving on the digital world every time you are on the net.
What you're browsing.
What you're browsing on the net. What you're seeing on your Instagram. On all your feeds. So every feed that you're using, social media, your Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, LinkedIn, everything and anything that is connected to the net leaves a digital footprint. Even if you delete it, it remains on the net. There's a beautiful movie which I recommend parents to watch with their children. It is called Ralph Breaks the Internet. A wonderful movie called Ralph Breaks the Internet. The first part, if you watch, you should watch both the first part. It's about gaming. And the gaming world and the gaming characters. And they talk about how the digital world works from a child's perspective. So this movie, when I saw it, first time I watched it, when I was watching it. So my kids watched it the first time. That time they were not on social media. They were laughing, icons and emojis and all coming in. when my kids became teenagers, they were watching it again. I said, let's sit and watch it. I'm not watching it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes repeat a movie. So movie night, we were repeating, and when we watched the movie, suddenly my daughter says, Mama, everything we do goes on the net and stays there. I said, yes, that is what a digital footprint is. What you're buying, what you're eating, what you're doing, where you're going, everything remains on your net. Today, a lot of crimes are found using mobile phones. How do they know that I am here? Because my GPS, I have booked an Uber and I have come here. How do they know that I've eaten pizza? Because I've booked the pizza. I use my credit card number is there. So as a parent, you need to tell your child that whatever you do and put and post remains. Even if you delete it, it is remaining somewhere in the server somewhere. You have deleted it. Tumhare feed mein se delete ho gaya. But that content has remained, and it will remain there in the server somewhere later. And if someone wants to search for it, they can go and search for it. Right? So they, and your digital footprint plays a very important role even in getting jobs in universities, because today colleges, universities, even people who are hiring are asking to send your, what they call is your social media links. Why? Because they want to see your mindset. When you go on the social media, what are you posting? Who are you following? What are you doing? Recently, I think probably a couple of months back, there was a teacher, principal. There was this case that happened a couple of, sometime back. So the CEO of a company in the US, he went on Twitter and wrote something. He put something about a company. His company got to know that he wrote this. But this was against his company. As a vent, look, I'm frustrated, I'm angry. The next day, he was sacked. Because he is not standing up for what he is doing. In fact, today, there's something called cyberbullying also that has started. So, like Instagram, like children have Instagram. A lot of children give phone. They say, chalo, dance karo, reel banao, dance karo. No, you're doing a whole lot of this. You got to realize something, that when children are being put on the net, you're opening them. Would you tell your child to talk to strangers? But you're giving them a phone and telling them, get on Instagram. Anyone can be anyone and come into this world, right? Now, what many children, what they're doing now is they're having Instagram groups in colleges and they're bullying people through that. How? They have a rumor page. Colleges have something called a rumor page. And in that rumor page, they'll say, this boy is dating this girl, this boy kissed this girl, this boy was holding her hand, this boy failed his exams, this fellow is a loser. They are paying. In fact, there was an article sometime back where they said that children in colleges and schools were being paid. So someone's handling this page. Now, how do you run this page? How do you make money? And how do you get information? Sitting here, I will not get information. So I will say, okay, 10 people, I will give you money. You get the information, I will give you $500. Or I'll give you a treat in the canteen. Simple. Bachche ko kya chahiye? Candy chahiye, chips chahiye. Lays ka 10 rupay ka chips chahiye. You get me information, I will give you chips. So child says, okay, this fellow is dating this one. Immediately Instagram pe dalga. This fellow is dating this one. There is no verification. But who's getting affected are the children whose names are coming there.
Now, children should be taught how to maintain privacy.
Maintain privacy, how to handle them, how you should not talk bad about someone. You know, in fact, there was a case where I had a case sometime back. There was a girl, school WhatsApp groups. You all have school WhatsApp groups, right? So this girl, they made a school WhatsApp group. And suddenly, this girl said, she suddenly got scared. She didn't want to go to school and she didn't want to go for her exam. The next day's exam, this girl suddenly didn't want to go. So the mother called me up and said, Sandhya, what do we do? Because she just doesn't want to go and she doesn't want to go to school. I don't know, suddenly, because she's such a studious child. Vaise toh padhai karti hai, she knows everything. She doesn't want to go to school. I don't know what's happened. So I said, let's talk to her, get her on, let me talk to her. So I spoke to her. I said, what happened? What's the matter? Then she says, no, I had to talk to her. I said, are you on WhatsApp? Are you on social media? No, auntie, I'm not on social media. No, I'm on. I only have a WhatsApp. I just joined the WhatsApp group. So I said, what happened? Say, no, they told me that to take a selfie. And I didn't want to take a selfie. And then they said, you're a loser. Then they took my photograph. They took some photograph from they went onto my mother's feed. They took a photograph and they made a meme. And they posted it all around school. And everyone is now making fun of me. Loser, loser, loser. Because I didn't want, no selfie girl, no selfie girl. Mm. So they have made fun of me and I do not want to face them in school tomorrow. A small, simple prank has become and hit this child so damaged, so deeply, right? So we get a lot of cases. Now, that child could go and tell the, can't tell the parents. Mm. She was scared because if mommy ko bolungi, to mommy daatengi. Mm. Parents said, oh God, we didn't know this happened to her. Now, when you communicate, when you have your communication open with your child can come and tell you and then you know what action can be done. But if that child has to suffer inside, 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 here I am going, what am I going to do, how am I going to tell, main jaake bolungi to daat khayenge. At the same time, you got to tell the children, then let it be. Dal de to dal, ya kya farak padta hai? You have to make children resilient. Don't get affected. But at the same time, you need to make them digitally smart. That it is not right to be bad to someone because it can get bad. Those children were suspended from school. They were given 15 days of suspension. The parents got a screenshot of the letter because it was the mother's phone which was being used. So it is important to go back and see and check what your child is, what the child is doing, which group they are in, what are the chats happening. So there was another case where there was two children, there was some talking and they say, oh, you work like a drug dealer, you work like this. And so we told the parent and the parent told me, drug dealer, my child is into drugs. I said, okay, let's take it. So we spoke to the child. I said, no, we were just joking. We were just joking about drugs. But were you joking? What if someone had read it differently? You were just talking like that. It has nothing to do with drugs. You were just joking. So it's very important to teach your children how to communicate and how to use the digital world.
So do you want to tell us some ritual or habit that, you know, a parent can strengthen their bond with the child?
I hope you've seen the show from the beginning. Because if you've not seen it, then go back to the beginning where I talked about the five C's. Right? The five C's. That is the ground rule. The five C's are your ground rule. Very important is to build connections with your child. Communicate with your child. Listen to your child. Have empathy. Have something that you'll do together. Like one thing that we do in our house, or I tell parents and I follow this and I've been following it from the time we have been kids, is no screen time. Like we're talking about the digital world. No screen time for anyone when we are eating food. And screen time means no TV, no laptop, no phone. So there'll be no laptop on the dining table. The TV will not be on. We will not watch anything. When you're eating food, we will eat food together. And have at least one meal together in a day as a parent. Very important is to have at least one meal. And in that meal, make sure there is no screen. You will not answer phones. You will keep your phone aside in another room. Another thing that you should do is to have a no screen zone. No phone zone or no mobile phone zone. So that means that on that area, you will not use the phone. So like in our thing, it is the dining table. It is a no phone zone, right? Toilets. We do not allow phones in the toilets. That's a rule, blanket rule. It has to be. Most of us take our phones to the toilet. Many people take their phones to the toilets. They let children. What is happening inside, you don't know. What the child is shooting, you don't know. Do not let children use phones with the door shut. Because then they are hiding something. You don't know what is happening, right? So, door shut. So, certain digital rules that we do. When you're posting
like
something.
Dining or having a meal together.
Yes.
Where you can discuss.
Yes, so you can discuss. So, when you are not having a phone and there is no screen, automatically there is time for communication. In your day, 15 minutes take out for your child. Whether you're working, not working, whether you're traveling. If you're traveling, make a WhatsApp video call to your child, 15 minutes. Play some game with your child. Connect with your child. Connecting to connect, you can play video games. You can play dumsharaj. You can sing. You can read a book. Have a breakfast together. Suppose you're working, many times parents say, I come back home, my children are sleeping, I don't get time. So I said, okay, can you get up in the morning and have breakfast with your child? Okay, we can do that. So find one meal that you can have with your child. One thing that you can do with your child.
Even weekends, you can plan or indulge in some activity.
Again, when you're indulging with activity with your child, make sure that you are there for the child. many times you say, okay, let's go for a movie. Mm-hmm. But movie, I do not count as a time because it's a screen and you're not spending time. Mm-hmm. The child is watching TV. Gaming zone. Very famous. All parents say, let's go to the gaming zone. We'll spend, I'm earning so much money, we take the child to the gaming zone. 3,000 ka swipe karke, dal do bachche ko jaake khelne. You are not spending time with the child. The child is spending your money. You're not spending time. Why? Because you are not going and playing with the child. No, are you playing basketball? Are you racing? Okay, if you're going to the gaming zone, you're sitting in the bike next to the child and you're both biking and playing together and playing games together. That is considered. Have gaming time together. Have a game night. You know, read books together. So have something that you like to do together. I run a 21-day program where I tell parents every day what to do. So every day I give them one task. Okay, today you will exercise today. Today you will meditate. Or today you will dance. Mother say, I don't have time with my child. I said, you make food. Simple, you make food. You cook food, yes. Can you get a child to come to the kitchen and help you in the kitchen? Maybe cut vegetable. Teenagers, right? We're talking about teenagers today. Can he cut? You can teach your child to cut. You can teach your child to make Maggie. You can teach your child to make a cup of coffee. Teach skills. As parents, teach skills. As a father, you're working, say, in a financial company. Can you have a conversation with your child on how to save money? Okay, sir, but let's see if you can make this money. I'm going to give some money. I will teach you how to make this 100 rupees into 1,000 rupees. You are teaching your child. And don't make it into a thing of learning as in studying, but make it a fun activity. Make things. So when you start doing to connect, you cannot think. There are 100 things that I can think that you can do with your child. 100 things. There are 100 things that you can do with your child. It's about you wanting to do ki, what do I do? You choose. Ki, yeah, ki, I can do this today. I can do that today. But do something where you are conversing with your child, communicating with your child, spending time with your child, and the child knows that you are there. Communicating every day, sit and talk with your child. So when you're talking with the child, I say follow the 5 W's and the 1 H. Don't ask yes, no questions. You ate food? Yeah. How is the food? You ate this? Yeah. You did this? No. Did your homework? No. That is not what the child wants to know. That is not conversation. Conversation is what happened in school today. Did you have fun? Well, I had a bad day in office. My boss fired me. Do we go and tell our children this anytime? We become superheroes, right? We don't want to tell our children that I got fired. Oh, my presentation went very bad today. You know, I messed up in my PPT. The child will say, hey, Mama, you know what happened? Even I, when the teacher asked me a question, I didn't know how to answer. I made a mistake. Now the children know that I can communicate with my parents. Communicate, share what is happening. Share what is happening in your life, the child will share. The more you share, the more the child will share. The more you communicate, the more the child will communicate. Teenage years, they may say that they don't need you, but that is a time when they really, really need you the most. They really need to know that you are there for them and be there for them. And one thing that I tell everyone is that you need, that is something that I tell, that is a you have to do this, is to hug your child. Hug your child and tell your child, I love you. Every day, however angry, however big a fight, I love you. No matter what, however angry I am, I love you. You've had a big fight with your child and a teenager. The child has gone to sleep. Go to your child and say, listen, I love you. No matter what. Yes, we had a fight. I'm sorry. It's okay to say I'm sorry. But I love you. Give your child a hug. If your child doesn't hug you, hold your child's hand and say, listen, I love you. I'm there for you. I'm always there for you no matter what. The child has to know that my parents are there for me. And if you don't tell it, it is like telling every day, I love you, I love you, I love you. The child knows, yes, my mama loves me. Ek habit se ho jata. Yeah, mom loves me. Say it like you mean it. Not say it because Sandhya Lal is telling you to say I love you. Don't hug because Sandhya Lal bol hug karna to ha. Hug pyar se karo. Kyun? Pyar ki jhappi. Munna bhai MBBS aapne dekha hai. Pyar ki jhappi. A hug releases oxytocin. Touching hands releases oxytocin, which is a happy hormone. So child, when you're talking to a child, hold, just touch your child's hand and say, listen, okay, don't worry. We'll go through this.
Yeah.
I am there. Touch. Touch is very important in a relationship. So hug the child, touch the child and say, listen, I'm there for you. We are good to go. No problem. We'll get through this. So hugging your child, telling your child, I love you, and be there for them no matter what. However bad a day you've had, come back and say, listen, I love you.
I totally agree, Sanya. Like hugging your child, kissing them daily, or having such fruitful conversation like 15 minutes a day will really add value to their bond and relation.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing your practical tips. This will really help the teens and the parents to strengthen their bond.
Thank you so much. And one thing I forgot is that when you're loving your child, don't forget to love yourself too.
Yeah.
And as a parent, sometimes we tend to be too hard on ourselves. So I want to tell every parent that just the way you would be hugging your child, put your arms around yourself. This is something that I'll tell. I would want you to put your arms around yourself and say, hey, I'm doing a good job and I'm a good parent. No, whether anyone else, every parent does a good job, but you can become a better parent. I'm not saying that what you're doing is wrong. You can become a better parent. Thank you so much for having me. It has been a wonderful experience over here talking to you and sharing everything that I have. And thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being with us on Imperia Connects. We hope today's discussion gives you a fresh perspective on building better relationships with your kids and teens. Stay tuned for more and we'll see you next time. And don't forget to like, share and subscribe our channel. Stay connected with Imperia Connects.